Greetings once again for a Sunday worship service with Bosque Del Baptist Church. I speak for many who would be greeting you at the church building and hope to do so very soon. I have high hopes that the churches of Illinois would be permitted to gather again, and I assure you that when that time comes, we will gather cheerfully and joyfully and carefully. A couple of things as introduction. There has been some discussion with church leaders about tithes and offerings. Of course, it is biblical, and so it should be discussed. And yes, the church does have continuing expenses, like we all do. The concern is the receipt of cash offerings. Cash sent by mail has difficulties, and we need to avoid those difficulties if at all possible. So the request has been given. Please send your regular tithes and offerings by check, if at all possible. Send it to the church address, Bosque Del Baptist Church, 3518 Bosque Del Road, Carbondale, Illinois, 62903. And thank you for your attention to this as detail we must address. Second, I, your pastor, really do need to continually be alerted as to congregational need and particularly prayer concerns and requests. There are two best ways to get in touch with me, plus one more or maybe two more. The first two ways are by email or text message or by phone. My email address is pastor@bosquedel.org. And my text message number is 618-525-5777. The text message number is my phone number. And please do not hesitate to call. The plus one more way is through another member, like a friend or one of our deacons. Tell someone and ask them to get to me. There is also a tab on the church website that you are on right now. When you open the www.bosquedel.org, you will see several tabs on the left side of the webpage, and the next to the bottom tab says Prayer Request. And you can enter one there, and it will get to me. Now, let's get to our time of worship. We usually start with greeting visitors and one another. And greetings. Glad to speak with you, and I wish I could see you right now. Announcements come next, and I have three. First, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we all want to be thinking of our mothers and their influence and blessing on our lives. Next is concerning our semi-annual yard sale. That, of course, would normally start this coming weekend, but will not. But will sometime soon, and that will be announced. Our yard sale ladies have been taking in and sorting, and they're ready to go now, bless their hearts, and will be ready when the time comes. The third announcement is that this Sunday begins what I am now naming as Christian Home Season. This season runs through June 20th, Father's Day, so I had to adjust the name from Christian Home Month, which I used to call it, to Christian Home Season. This is a special emphasis on a variety of highlights of a Christian family home setting and the relationship of the church and family. You know it involves Mother's Day and Father's Day, but this time also includes Graduate Sunday, May 17th, honoring the graduates of various homes among us, Children's Sunday, June 7th, with blessings on children of the church, past years and future years to come, and concludes with Father's Day, June 20th. I will be making some Christian home suggestions all through these weeks of emphasis. Following greetings and announcements, we invoke the presence of God among us for this time of worship with what we call an invocation prayer. We invoke the presence of God. Well, let's pray. O God, our loving and gracious Father, we come now to focus on our worship of you, the great God of the universe. You created it, you sustain it, and you have an eternity for us to look forward to as followers of, believers in, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now for this time of worship, for we offer up our worship for your honor and glory. Amen. In our worship now, we worship with hymns of praise and dedication. Our intention for the worship of our tithes and offerings in your name, O God, and we have spoken of this, but want to emphasize the giving of our gifts is very much worship. And we have worship time to pray for each other and for others beyond our church and for many around the world in important places. It is a time of the beautiful music of the church, hymns. And these hymns, the two for today, are tied to the ideas of the message for today titled The Disciples Refresher Course. And it will be about some of what Jesus instructed his disciples to do after he had returned to heaven. And of course, those instructions are for us, the disciples of this day and age. The first hymn is the familiar Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult. It is a shorter hymn, so we'll just do two verses of this. The music and singing you will hear is from the First Baptist Church of Pacific Beach. Here are the words. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Verse 2, Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. Now, that is our first hymn. Jesus calls us to the tumult of our lives, from restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Now, before I introduce this second hymn, something has occurred to me. Some of you might get more involved with this hymn time if you had a church hymn book right in front of you. So here's what I'm proposing to do. If you'll contact me or Laura or Effie, I will bring a church hymn book to you at your home on loan for the next few weeks until we get back in the church again. Then, of course, we'll ask you to bring them back. But this way, I can give you the hymn numbers, and you can follow along more easily. So let me know if you would like that, and I will bring one to you. This second hymn is a reminder, a statement of our desire and intention to be cleansed and freed of all sin. This is a disciple's desire, to live for God at our best. And those of you who have now learned our congregational benediction, you'll notice it in this hymn from Psalm 139. It begins, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That's the benediction. You remember? Well, this hymn is sung by a ladies' quartet of Chinook Baptist Church. The words to this hymn titled, Cleanse Me, are these, Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Well, any true disciple wanting to be refreshed is going to want to be cleansed from every sin every hour of every day. And so this is our second hymn. And thank you for worshiping just now in the great theology of some of our great hymns. Now we come to prayer time. And I will be speaking the names and situations of our concerns of prayer as I lead in this prayer. Won't you join me now? Gracious Lord, we have so much on our hearts to offer to you as our prayers. You know all of it. But we must voice it for our own spirits and hopes. We pray for our world. This COVID virus has disturbed and disheartened so many, Lord, and our only rest is rest in you. Thank you for blessing us with your assurances, with your provision. Our trust is in you. We do pray for the many who go through those steps further that are so needed by all of us, the medical and emergency professionals, the food and fuel services, the bankers, the grocers, the general store workers in places like Walmart and so forth. We pray for our churches, for the strain of keeping going while closed up tight. Help us to see clearly, Father, that church is so much more than meeting in a building. It is a fellowship of believers caring for each other and actively doing your will in our world. And as we share today together from this teaching of your word, You've called us and continue to call us to share the good news of the gospel here in Carbondale and all over the world. And so, Father, people we are praying for today are Harold Lee and Sue, Jean and Joy, Bob and Ellen, Milton and Corinne's brothers, Terry Golson's brother, Tom and Shirley Maines, Effie and her daughter Patty, Leela Marvin, Loretta Cox, Mary Raso, Nancy Flagger, and David, friends of Sue's and mine in Nashville, Marshall and Mary Lee Kennedy, and Cindy Sherrill, and Sue's sister Regina, with a new physical health problem, and my close friend Bruce Moffat in Maryland, and prayers of sympathy, O God, for the families of Joe Ellis and Linda Klutz and Margaret McGee, loved ones lost in the past few days. And Father, you know there are many more on our hearts. We love them and pray for them, and our prayer this day is in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen. And now, friends, we turn to the scripture lesson for today and for a message we want to receive from the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. Please always pray that messages presented here are sought to be led by God's Spirit and dedicated to His eternal glory. The sermon title is The Disciples' Refresher Course. And this is May 3rd, 2020. And as I said earlier, this is Christian Home Season. It extends from May 3rd to June the 20th. Our scripture is from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 16, and 26 and 27 in Romans 8, and then Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 25. And these scripture readings are from the New International Version, the NIV. If you have your own Bible, turn with me now to these two passages, one from Romans 8 and the other from Galatians 5. Romans 8, the 14th verse, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" Abba is Aramaic. That's the language Jesus spoke. Abba, Father. And verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And then down to verses 26 and 27 in Romans 8. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." And then from Galatians, the 5th chapter, a very familiar passage, verse 22 through 25. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance," that's patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of all of us hearing it. You know, the truth is, many things in the church year point toward Easter. It is the big day, the big occasion. But what do you do after it's all over? Well, that's where we are kind of now. Well, actually, the real question is, what happens as a result of the Easter event? What happens as a result of the day of Christ's resurrection? What keeps happening day after day and year after year in the light of his rising up from death and the grave? Well, now that we've celebrated Christ's resurrection, We must settle down to do the more daily task of living it out in our daily lives. There's this. Because of the resurrection, we live rather than die. We hope rather than despair. And that, my friends, is good outweighing the bad. That the good outweighs the bad is not always immediately discernible, because physical death, pain, separation, worry, and fear still exist. And don't we live in a time of all that right now? But here it is. The ultimate victory has been won on the cross and came forth from the tomb for all believers. During the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, the disciples had a 40-day refresher course. And that's what we all need. The truth is, there is a stirring contrast between the world in which the disciples lived and the world in which we live. They had no church buildings, no hospitals, no Christian schools. They had no organizations, no ABC USA or written creeds like the Baptist Faith and Message. Very important to us. We haven't. They didn't have the New Testament. They had no semblance of Christian government or nation. No pledge, one nation under God. Well, at least we can still say it. What those first disciples did have, they had a unique person in their world. His uniqueness was evident in his life, his character, his crucifixion, and his resurrection from the dead. These 11, and then by the time of Acts 1:26, the 12 followers of that unique person were sometimes fearful and despairing, sometimes mistaken, but they were there. They were there in his name. They had a fellowship, at a place to meet, an upper room, according to Acts 1:13. They had a memorial feast to keep. They had good news to share. And after their refresher course, they went into the world and turned communities upside down. Like the people in Thessalonica said in Acts 17:6, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Well, the refresher course was offered, we believe, mostly in Galilee. You remember, Jesus met the women who were returning from his empty tomb, going quickly to tell the disciples, and after greeting them and receiving their offering of worship, they're worshiping him on their knees, Jesus said to them, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Matthew 28:10. Well, why go back to Galilee? Well, possibly to get away from troubled Jerusalem, but there were probably other reasons too. Their hearts would be more at ease back home in Galilee, where they had lived and where they first met the Master. Well, it can be a notable event in one's pilgrimage when he or she goes back to familiar surroundings and focuses on the essential rather than the accidental. "There they will see me," Jesus promised. And that's what we need. We need to seek out the powerful, glorified Christ and become saturated with his personality. We need to see him. In our message time today, see if you can't let the power of association help you recall his teachings and see the leading of Jesus from the perspective of post-resurrection meaning. What I'm suggesting is personal and cherished contact with Jesus. The curriculum of the Disciples' Refresher Course was weighted with extremely close contacts with Jesus. They'd been close to him before, but now, through enlightenment of who he was, a new intimacy developed. their deepest natures felt a new warmth and friendship. And by this detailed and thorough contact, Jesus accelerated the memories of the disciples. They remembered so much they had forgotten. For example, he gave special attention to Thomas, who had been doubting, and to Peter, who had denied him. Well, that was close contact. By this confidential relationship, Jesus taught his disciples concerning his eternal presence. His physical presence was now intermittent. He appeared behind closed doors. And at other times, they were being prepared for post-ascension days by an appearance here or there. In this time of appearance at any time, Jesus promised to be with them always. And see, I sincerely think that Christians of today need a refresher course by which they can learn how to live in intimately close relationship with God through Jesus. The 17th century monk, Brother Lawrence, you've heard of him, he was a cook at his monastery, and he said that God was as close and real to him in the kitchen among his pots and pans as in times of the more formal prayer and worship in the chapel. As I said, I'm suggesting personal and cherished contact with God through Jesus. So, what were the results of the disciples' refresher course way back then? Well, 20 years or so after the ascension of Jesus, Paul and Silas were following in the school of the disciples' refresher course. And I mentioned earlier the reception they got at that time in Thessalonica. Acts 17:6 says, "The people in Thessalonica said, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here also.'" J.B. Moffat translation translates it this way: "These upsetters of the whole world have come here too." So the School of Disciples Refresher Course had this result. They went into the world and turned communities, turned nations upside down. These people, these disciples, were in the succession of the prophets: Elijah, Nathan, Amos, and Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and others. Those were troublers of Israel, and they often made the authorities uneasy. Well, our approach generally is to try not to upset anyone. And too much of what the church does depends on satisfied customers. Some modern churches' techniques and policies are sometimes designed to be more exciting than theological, sometimes designed to be more soothing than upsetting. And certainly there is no virtue in being an upsetting force just for the sake of disturbance. But really, when you get down to it, it is to our shame that the church is not more of an upsetting force. We, I'm afraid, have become quite skillful in detouring around and leaping over the real conflicts of our times instead of doing what we almost casually put in initials a few decades ago. Remember WWJD? Well, actually, that's a pretty good question. What would Jesus do? Professor H.E. Lecoq, a Methodist minister and a professor of preaching at Yale Divinity School, said, "The charge of being an upsetting force in a settled world is a high tribute and an unconsciously accurate appraisal of the real nature of Christian truth." So my closing question is, are we ready to? Do we know how to? Do we want to join the first century group of 12 disciples and other followers, starting out from that upper room in Jerusalem, and do our own thing to upset the apple cart of our modern society, to return to a tight-knit relationship with Jesus? or do we yet need to have our own disciples refresher course? The scriptures for today are a good refresher. Well, let me suggest that we start today and every day with the meaningful words of our congregational benediction, which suggests that we will seek God's approval every moment of every day in our inner thoughts and by the words that come out of our mouths. And so say the benediction with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. And may God bless you abundantly this week ahead of us.